So this Sunday, I wanted to talk about the church's teaching on the end of the world. This is particularly relevant this year, 2012, because in a few weeks we will have the famous December 21st, 2012, which we are all, I'm sure, tired of hearing about, and which is a lot of foolishness. Supposedly the ancient Mayans believed that the world was going to end on that day because they made their calendar end on December 21st of this year. But in reality, for the Mayans, December 21st is only the end of a long cycle of 5,125 years. It's called the Mesoamerican long calendar, and it's the beginning of a new cycle. The Mayans had a different way of reckoning time than we do, and the largest unit by which they measured time was 5,125 years. And that cycle will end this December, and the next one will begin. The idea that the Mayans thought that the world was going to end at the end of this cycle was actually invented in the 70s by some weird New Age writers, and it was popularized by Hollywood, but it's, of course, complete nonsense. But we as Catholics know that the world will end, not because we saw it on TV, or because the Mayans told us, but because our Lord tells us this in the Gospel today. There are actually numerous prophecies about the end of the world scattered all through Scripture, but this passage from today is probably the most complete and detailed description that we have of the end of the world. Our Lord tells us what will happen. There will be, as he says, great upheavals on the earth and in the sky as well. And then he will come down from heaven in great power and majesty to judge all mankind. The end of the world will be a terrifying event, as our Lord says. We don't know when it will happen. In fact, our Lord says that not even the angels of heaven know when the world will end. But we do know that it will be very sudden. Our Lord says in another place, as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, even till that day in which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, we have a few clues in the epistles of St. Paul about some things that have to happen before the end of the world. But apart from these clues, we don't know when the world will end. But it is good to know these signs that St. Paul gives us under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to know when the end is near or possibly near. Some of the signs that St. Paul gives have been fulfilled, and others have not. But it's good to know them. Now, before I go over these signs of the coming of the end of the world from St. Paul, I really need to warn you about trying too hard to figure out when the world is going to end. There are some Catholics who try to come up with some kind of guess or some kind of calculation of as to when the Antichrist will come or when the world will end. But this is very wrong. Our Lord has told us very clearly that this is a secret that is known only to God. And so we should accept that. And to try to inquire further is, in fact, a danger to our faith. It's a danger that we have to avoid. So if you ever meet anybody who tries to tell you when the world is going to end, or who even speculates about such things, just avoid them, because there are people who get into serious trouble in their spiritual life or in their faith by not being careful about these things. In fact, when St. Paul gave these signs of the end of the world he wrote them in his epistle to the Thessalonians. The reason he gave these signs to the Thessalonians was because they were falling into error about the end of the world. They believed that the world was going to end very soon. And so they didn't want to even get married or have children because they didn't believe that they were going to be around that much longer anyway. And they were neglecting their occupations and their livelihoods even, because they thought that the world was about to end. And so St. Paul wrote them these things in order to set them straight. Anyway, the first sign that he gives that needs to happen before the world will end is the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. This has been accomplished already with the whole world basically hearing about the Catholic faith. The 20th century, of course, in the time before the Vatican Council, was a time of very great missionary efforts. And Catholic missionaries reached even to the most remote islands of the Pacific Ocean and even into the most remote places of Central Asia and Africa. And now even more so with the internet, the truths of the Catholic faith are available to anyone who wants to learn as much as they want. The second sign that St. Paul gives is the conversion of the Jewish people. Of course, this has not yet happened. The third sign is a great falling away from the faith and the appearance of the Antichrist. Our Lord himself also predicted the great apostasy when he said, "But yet when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find, think you, faith on earth?" The implicit answer to that question is no. This condition is taking place right now, as we see all around us, of course. The true faith has been almost completely lost by the world, except for a tiny number of people. So that part of it has happened. We're still waiting for the second half of that condition, though, which is the appearance of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be the most evil man who ever lived. He will be the opposite of Christ in every way. And he will lead people away from God, and he will set himself up in the place of God to be worshipped instead, according to St. Paul. Some people believe that the Antichrist will be an organization or a philosophy or a movement like communism. Some people have speculated. But Scripture is very clear that he will be a man. He will lead people astray. But then there will come two witnesses who will preach against him and preach the Catholic faith. The Apocalypse chapter 11 talks about two witnesses who will preach to the world that has fallen away from God. Now it says in other parts of Scripture that these two witnesses will be Enoch and Elias, who were both taken up into heaven without dying, and who are actually still alive as we speak by a miracle. Enoch was the grandson of Adam. And it says in Genesis that he walked with God and was seen no more. And we know that he will come back at the end of the world because of the book of Ecclesiasticus 44:16. It says, "Enoch pleased God and was translated into paradise that he might give repentance to the nations." Now, Elias was a prophet. He was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. And the prophet Malachi says about him, chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elias the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So these two prophets will come and preach to the world before the end. The Apocalypse has some very interesting details about them in chapter 11, but since it's prophecy, we don't necessarily know how much of it to take literally. But the Antichrist will put them to death, and they will rise again and they will actually ascend up into heaven after 3.5 days. Now, after this, although we don't know how long after, there will be disturbances in nature, as our Lord prophesied in the Gospel today. The sun and the moon will grow dark, the ocean will be in turmoil, the people will be terrified beyond belief. Fire will consume the earth, and it will purify the just people who are still alive, so that they will expiate all of their temporal punishment before the end of the world, before the last judgment, because there will be no purgatory for them to expiate after the last judgment. After that, the dead will rise with their bodies, and they will be taken to the last judgment. We don't know where the last judgment will be, but there is a pious belief that it will be near Jerusalem. As you remember, our Lord rose into heaven from the Mount of Olives, which is a hill outside of Jerusalem. And after he ascended, the angel said to the apostles who were looking at him going up, he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken from you up into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven." So it seems likely that he will come back down onto the Mount of Olives from where he went up. Now, there is a valley between the Mount of Olives and the city of Jerusalem called the Valley of Josaphat. And the prophet Joel, in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, predicts in chapter 3, verse 5, "Let them arise, and let the nations come up into the Valley of Josaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations round about." So, we don't know, but it's possible. In any case, we know for certain that the entire human race will be gathered together to be judged by Christ for the last time. And every person will know everything that everyone else did. Every detail of every person's life who ever lived, down to their smallest and most insignificant thought, word, or action, will be known to every other member of the human race. This is a powerful thought, and it should make us think more about what we do. It's also an encouragement for someone who might be afraid to go to confession and tell his sins to the priest. Someone who is confessing his sins should remember that the entire human race will know all of his sins someday anyway. And they will either know it as something that they repented of and were forgiven for, or as something that they did not repent of and now will suffer for all eternity. After this last judgment, the good will be taken up into heaven with God forever, and the wicked will go down into hell to suffer in torment forever. The earth will be destroyed by fire, and it will be restored again, as Isaiah said. And then the entire story of the creation of the world and all human history will come to an end. There will be no more change or new creation or new events at all. But everything will remain forever as it will be at that moment. This is all real. This is not a show on the Discovery Channel about some engravings in a Mayan temple. This is not something that we tell ourselves just to motivate ourselves to be good. When this happens, it will be as real as the discovery of America or the invention of the light bulb. And when it comes, we will probably think to ourselves that we thought that it would never really happen. Not that we didn't believe that it would happen, but that we acted like it would never happen. When I was a child in school, I used to look forward to summer vacation every year. To me and probably for every child, it was like some far-off time of happiness and freedom. And it seemed like it would never come. Sometimes I would be tempted to feel like it never was going to come. Especially around this time of year in December, it seems like it's so far off it's never going to come. But sure enough, it always ended up coming, and I would always be happy when it did. And I would look back to the earlier parts of the year, and I would remember how I kind of doubted that I would ever be done with that school year. And now it had truly come, and now I was free for the summer. I think when the world ends, it will be like that with us. We will think back about how we knew that it would come, but in practice, we could hardly bring ourselves to believe it. And yet now it is upon us. And pray God that we are ready when it does come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.